Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your radio reading service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today, I'll be reading another chapter from the book Tales of Al, The Water Rescue Dog, The Making of a Super Athlete, and if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters about the animals in our lives. We're going to start today's readings with The Tales of Al by Lynn Cox. In the previous chapter, we learned that Lynn was telling a story about swimming with Otis, Pork, and Beans at Emerald Beach. She had a great time with the dogs and learned how comfortable that they were in swimming in the ocean. Chapter 16, Minestrone and Body Surfing. I stop my story for a few moments as the server sets steaming bowls filled with minestrone a la Milanese in front of each of us. The soup was a garden of vegetables poured into three small bowls, tender potatoes, carrots, tomatoes, green cabbage, zucchini, onions, celery, green beans, cannellini, basil, parsley, rosemary, garlic, and bay leaves were simmered with chicken broth, and the pancetta and rice were added. Ferruccio explained this was a favorite northern Italian dish. It was sprinkled with Parmesan cheese, and the saltiness enhanced all the flavors in the soup. After I tasted the first spoonful, I wanted more. The server returned with a small, bubbling hot pizza topped with thinly sliced caramelized pear and gorgonzola cheese. Ferruccio asked what the Newfoundlands at Emerald Bay had been doing wading in the waves. I continued, Otis, Pork, and Beans were going body surfing. I was astonished. I didn't know dogs could do that. Ferruccio and Roberto and Donatella looked equally incredulous. They also had never heard of dogs being able to body surf. I looked at Otis, Pork, and Beans and saw them sliding toward an incoming wave. It was small and flowed past us. We swam farther out. We felt the tug of a rising wave pulling us toward it. We studied its shape as it began to form a funnel, and we gauged how fast it was moving. This wave was also small and weak, and too little, so we couldn't ride it as it slid past us. Another dark green line expanded across Emerald Bay. It rose into a translucent aqua mound, lifted and dropped us, and slid by. Patiently, the dogs floated as if they were resting on surfboards. Their wide and tapered chests were their surfboards. They paddled around and gazed out to sea. They were so at home in the water. I put on my goggles and looked down through the clear water. I saw a world of fish swimming below us. There were two gray smooth hounds, also known as sand sharks. They swam gracefully at about a leg's distance from us. They were half my size, their bodies elongated, and their tails slender. Hovering above the bottom was a guitar fish, a ray with a flat head and trunk. It was hunting for clams, worms, and crabs. There must have been a lot of food in that water. When a slender silvery bronze leopard shark with dark ovals and neat rows along her back swam under us, I froze and watched her. She was an elegant shark, and she swam effortlessly. Smiling to myself, I remembered that leopard sharks were members of the hound shark family. She was probably employing her ampullae of Lorenzini to detect our electromagnetic fields, and I think that Otis, Pork, and Beans felt her. They were paddling closer to me as she swam right below us. I looked up to get a breath and checked the surf. A large California sea lion was swimming at the bay toward a rocky area. The dogs noticed the sea lion and perked their ears. The sea lion looked at them and barked repeatedly. The dogs barked back to communicate in a language shared by the species. "Here comes a wave," I shouted. They felt the energy of the wave before I said it, and they had already moved into position. We swam and caught it and rode it only a short way. The energy of the wave dissipated, but I don't think the dogs were disappointed. They quickly turned and swam back out with me beside them. It was so much fun to watch their big heads bob in the water. There was another long lull, and then a darker green line appeared on the water's surface. We watched the life around us. Western gulls rose like smoke above Emerald Bay and circled in the sky. Their loud "kew, kew, kew" calls punctuated the air. California lease terns made sharp curves and rapid dives. They were the acrobats of the sky. Great blue herons nesting in nearby eucalyptus trees flew lower to the water. A brown pelican climbed nearly straight up to get a bird's eye view. When it spotted something in the water, it dove and tucked its wings so that they would not break when it hit the water, with an explosive impact catching a fish in its pouch. A flock of black cormorants, beating their wings rapidly, flew a few meters off the water, and a black skimmer flew with its beak open, scooping fish from the sea. A wave was moving toward us a lot faster than the ones from before. It was pulling us toward it. The dogs were watching intensely. They were waiting for the perfect moment when the wave reached its full height, just before it curled. I watched the three Newfoundlands rising higher and higher. We turned quickly, put the wave on our backs, faced the beach, and sprinted. We were pulling and kicking as fast as we could, moving our arms and legs. We achieved the speed of the wave and caught it. I looked over. I could not believe I was body surfing with three Newfoundlands. We were all having the time of our lives. Otis Pork and Beans were body surfing on their stomachs with their front legs stretched out in front of them. They were leaning forward, their heads low and hips high, so there would be no drag. They were body surfing perfectly, leaning in the direction of the breaking wave and extending their ride. We were riding a wave, one of nature's most beautiful creations. Completely immersed in the green funnel, we were surrounded by the power and speed of the water. We were one with the wave. We dropped down the face, bounced the bubbly white foam, and spray erupted around us. The wave was losing its strength, weakening, slowing, dissipating, and it seemed like it was dying. But the energy wave that came from the distant storms moved in and through the earth, and what little energy the wave had left delivered us to shallow water. We touched down from our out-of-this-world experience. It seemed like the sea was celebrating our arrival. Moon snail shells, purple dwarf olive shells, California cone shells, and the Keystone limpet shells were spinning and fluttering in the water like confetti. The dogs charged from the water and chased one another on the beach. They ran to me. They were wagging their hips and their tails, dancing and shaking, running along the beach, romping in and out of the surf. Happy, howling, and barking. They were ecstatic. They were high from the thrill of body surfing. They were adrenaline hounds. They looked back at the Pacific Ocean. They heard the call of the waves. "Do you want to go body surfing some more?" I asked. They barked wildly, pranced, and lifted their muzzles. Their voices would rise to the heavens and cross the distant seas. "Let's go," I said. They loped into the water and charged through the surf. Otis and Pork Duck dived under a breaking wave and popped up the backside. But Beans dove late, and the wave caught her, flipped her head over tail. I sprinted to the area where I last saw her. She surfaced, but another wave slammed into her and pinned her under. Somehow she managed to pull herself back to the surface. Worried she was choking, I swam quickly to her. She looked at me. She seemed fine, but I was not sure. So I turned and started to swim toward the beach, hoping that she would follow. She didn't. I asked her if she wanted to go back out. An incoming wave broke. Beans dove under it and cleared the impact zone. She swam out. Being tumbled was part of body surfing. She was unfazed and raring to get back out. Otis and Pork were waiting for us. They were watching small waves slide past, calm, relaxed, and at one with the ocean. They floated. If they had been human beings, we probably would have talked about the meaning of life, discussed the state of the world, the expanding universe, and maybe talked about Sirius, the dog star, the brightest star visible from the earth, flickering in a rainbow of colors. But we did not speak, and we were free and floating and feeling the beating of our hearts, the ease of our breath, the joy of being alive. The dog's ears perked as we looked out across Emerald Bay for the next big wave. I realized they were listening to the distant sound of waves shattering against the rocky headlands. I thought they might be able to judge the size of the waves by these sounds. They were long lulls when the ocean became quiet. 3 week waves slid by, and then there was another lull. That space between the waves was like the rests between notes of music or the space between words on a page. In that space between the waves, I discovered something new. While the Pacific Ocean appeared to be calm, tranquilo, that calm was only on the surface. It was a crucible of energy and motion, pulled by the gravitational forces of the moon and the sun, moved by the Earth's rotations. The ocean's tides were ebbing and flowing. Energy transmitted by distant storms, strong winds, and calving icebergs was traveling across the ocean. That energy wave would be transformed into a water wave, and that wave would become a sound wave that becomes music. The life, death, and rebirth of a wave I saw and heard as a piece of music. The energy moving through the water was like a basso continuo, a firm, repeating musical bass line. The basso kept building as the wave rushed forward and began to move more freely with a musical accelerando. Racing toward the shore were the crescendo higher and higher, louder and louder to fortissimo, its loudest point. We caught the wave immersed in the music, dog paddling as fast as our arms and legs could move. We rode the wave as it lifted us to its climax, and suddenly the wave's strength intensified and it hit the beach with a crashing sorvolando. We fell fantastically forward in the green funnel, edged with sunlight silver and white water lace. We glided into the wave's beautiful credenza. Otis and Pork and Beans were leaning into the wave, sustaining their speed and fun, riding the music for as long as the watery notes would carry them. With a twinge of sadness, we heard and felt the decrescendo of the wave as it weakened and grew softer and moved slower into a ritardando. We listened to the waves slide up the beach into a beautiful crescendo and then back wash softly to the sea to complete the circle of the piece of music as the finale of the first musical wave becomes the beginning of another. Barking joyfully, the dogs shook notes of water from their heads and ears. Pork pushed me with his big black nose. They wanted to go forward for another ride on a new wave and hear a new song. They wanted to feel the exuberant energy of the wave flow around them. So did I. The dogs multiplied the joy I felt at being alive, being with them and body surfing with them in the ocean. All afternoon we rode those waves, Pork, Beans, and Otis, never tired. Each wave seemed to give them more energy. Each wave was unique, and each ride was different. We kept surfing and swimming, and at some time that afternoon, we saw a pod of dolphins. I think the dogs heard them first. The dolphins were emitting high-pitched squeaks, long whistles, trills, and groans, and they were making clicking sounds to the echolating and identifying fish in the water. I wondered what they thought of the three Newfoundlands and the sounds we were making as we surfed. We watched three dolphins ride a wave in synchronization. Their streamlined bodies moved through the transparent green water as they body surfed below the waves. They looked like gray torpedoes riding the wave toward a shore. They used their powerful dolphin kicks to stay inside the wave, but they knew they needed to kick out early and leap over the wave before it collapsed so they would not be tossed ashore and grounded. They were beautiful, natural-born surfers. The only reason we stopped body surfing that day was because the wind came up and blew the waves out. We were tired and happy and hungry. It was my first time body surfing with Newfoundlands. It would not be my last. We would spend some of the best days of summer body surfing in Emerald Bay. This chapter comes from Tales of Al, the Water Rescue Dog. The Making of a Super Athlete by Lynn Cox. Our next reading comes from the ASPCA Action Newsletter. It's the official magazine of the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. This is Issue 1, 2025. Home Remedies for Your Pets, Myths Debunked. Use salt to make your pet vomit. That's a myth. The fact is, salt ingestion can cause stomach upset and potentially electrolyte imbalances, heart problems, tremors, and seizures. Myth: milk is the universal antidote. Fact: milk can be helpful to decrease oral and stomach irritation from caustic substances, but it is not a cure-all and may cause stomach upset. Myth: burnt toast absorbs toxins. Fact: burnt toast contains carbon, not activated charcoal, and is not effective for absorbing toxins. Myth: raw egg is great for health for your pet. Fact, raw eggs can cause stomach upset. Myth, give 3% hydrogen peroxide until your pet vomits. Fact, too much hydrogen peroxide can cause significant stomach issues, including ulcers. Always get appropriate dosing information from your veterinarian. Myth, garlic can get rid of fleas. Fact, garlic is toxic to pets and can cause damage to their red blood cells, resulting in anemia. Myth, essential oils can get rid of fleas and treat skin conditions. Fact, depending on the oil and the route of exposure, essential oils can lead to serious signs such as vomiting, depression, muscle weakness, ataxia, severely low body temperature, liver failure, difficulty breathing, collapse, or seizures. If you suspect that your pet has ingested something potentially toxic, please call your veterinarian or the ASPCA Poison Control Center at 888-426-4435. That's ASPCA Poison Control Center. Again, the number is 888-426-4435. Our next article is called Dancing Through Life with Dancer. Days before Christmas 2023, the New York Police Department received a call about an emaciated 7-year-old bulldog mix tied to a pole. When the officers arrived, Dancer, as the dog was later named, was in rough shape. He was so emaciated he could barely walk and had severe, untreated skin disease that left painful ulcers on his limbs and paws. To receive the life-saving care he needed, Dancer was brought to the ASPCA, where he was placed on a refeeding diet to help him reach a healthy weight and treated for his skin disease. After months of rehabilitation, Dancer was finally ready for a loving home. On May 3rd, Dancer met Ugo and Maxwell at the ASPCA Adoption Center. Dancer's face instantly captivated me, remembers Ugo. His clumsy gait, heavy breathing, and the way he cuddled my feet were all signs of his gentle and peaceful nature. We decided to adopt him that very same day. Dancer was shy when he first arrived home, keeping to himself and sleeping on the floor. We don't know how much that his background impacted him, but his behavior suggested that he never experienced a loving home, explained Ugo. We had to teach him that going outside didn't mean being abandoned again. But as months passed, Dancer grew more comfortable and his personality blossomed. He's like a little shadow of me, said Ugo. We're both homebodies, so we spend a lot of time together on the sofa, and someone who loves to cuddle, I found the perfect companion in Dancer. This article, Happy Tales, Dancing Through Life with Dancer. Microchip Miracle. After Hurricane Helene hit, the ASPCA established a temporary emergency shelter in Conover, North Carolina. Our staff provided medical attention and care for displaced and homeless pets and boarded pets whose families needed assistance. Overwhelmed by an influx of stray pets from the storm, the McDowell County Animal Shelter transported 21 animals to the ASPCA shelter. One of them was given the name Archer. When we scanned Archer for a microchip, we discovered he had one. The intake and reunification teams got to work and traced the chip, which revealed his real name was Ace. The ASPCA contacted Ace's owner, a pet groomer named Vanna from Fort Mill, South Carolina, who confirmed that he had been missing for several weeks. Vanna told the staff that Ace had been part of her family since he was a puppy, and everyone was emotional during their reunion. Clearly ready to head home, Ace hopped into the car's passenger seat, and they were on their way. Foster dog becomes one couple's rock after Hurricane Helene. The ASPCA's Behavioral Rehabilitation Center, known as the BRC, located just outside Asheville, North Carolina, was among the many animal shelters impacted by Hurricane Helene. All BRC dogs were evacuated to our temporary shelter in Ohio, while 5 dogs already in foster care with local families stayed. Kelly Kidd, volunteer and foster manager at the BRC, was able to check in with our four foster caregivers, but Ann G. and her husband Chris K., who were fostering Catalina, were unreachable. Kelly and her partner Gabe set out to find Ann's house. The ride was perilous because of downed power lines, shattered trees, mud, and other hazardous situations which blocked the road. Neighbors assured them that Ann was safe with friends, so Kelly and Gabe lugged bags of dog food, cases of water, and other supplies up the hill and left them on Ann's porch. Days later, Ann called to say she'd received the supplies. She reported that Chris, Catalina, and the other dog, Murphy, had navigated uprooted trees and brush to reach their neighbor's house after losing power and water. Soon after, they adopted Catalina. "I couldn't imagine sending her back to the shelter," says Anne. "She was our rock through this entire ordeal." Mama Burns hitches a ride to safety with the ASPCA. When Tropical Storm Debbie caused flooding across the southeast in August of 2024, the Humane Society of Valdosta, Lowndes County, sustained downed fencing and a leaky roof, making the dog kennels uninhabitable. They contacted the ASPCA requesting replacement for the impacted dogs. The Kentucky Humane Society agreed to take 14 dogs, including Mama Burns, a mixed breed dog who had chemical burns on her body and had been relinquished to the shelter with three nursing puppies. After her wounds were treated and her puppies weaned, she and her pups joined the other dogs aboard a transport vehicle. Of all the dogs transferred to the Kentucky Humane Society, Mama Burns was the first to be adopted. She now lives with a loving family who adores watching her play and slide around the house when she has the dog zoomies. Helping shelters help animals. Ziv's journey to a new life. Severe storms rolling through North Texas in spring of 2024 brought rain, hail, and an EF3 tornado that left neighborhoods flooded and trees and buildings leveled. The ASPCA deployed to Texas to provide disaster relief for all American dogs and an animal shelter in Denton County impacted by the storms. Within days, we flew over 100 animals to our Cruelty Recovery Center in Ohio, including Ziv, a one-year-old tabby cat. After he received a medical and behavioral evaluation at the recovery center, Ziv was transported to Greenville Humane Society in South Carolina, where he was put up for adoption. Kendall, a volunteer, met Ziv during one of her shifts, fell in love, and convinced her husband, Justin, to adopt him. "He's a puppy, kitten, and teenager rolled into one," said Justin. "He loves our screened-in porch, playing with spring toys, lounging in boxes and bags, and looking out the window watching cars go by." All these stories come from the ASPCA magazine called the ASPC Action, issue number 1, 2025. WebMD writes Best Dogs for Seniors. Any dog owner can tell you there's nothing like having a loyal companion. Dogs are good pets for people of any age as long as you choose the right dog for your lifestyle. If you're an older adult looking to find a furry four-legged friend, here are a few things you should consider. Why get a dog? It's a big responsibility, but the benefits are worth the work. Dogs can give you joy, companionship, and unconditional love. They can bring warmth and comfort into your life. Better health. Decades of studies have shown that health benefits of spending time with dogs. Dogs' owners tend to have better heart and blood vessel health, including lower blood pressure, than those who don't have a pet pup. That's because dogs get people moving. Walking a dog regularly can help you boost much of your own body's need for exercise each day. Less lonely. Dogs offer companionship just by being around. They might also help you be more social. Taking your dog on walks gives you a chance to meet neighbors or other canine owners in the local park. Much happier. Looking at your dog can release a hormone that makes you feel happier. Science shows that gazing into your dog's eyes releases oxytocin, known as the love hormone. Oxytocin quickly boosts your mood. Best breeds for seniors? Bichon Frise. These dogs are very small and cute. Their fluffy coats need regular grooming. They're happy in small homes and apartments, and they only need moderate exercise. Cocker Spaniels. These dogs are known for their beautiful soft coats, which need regular grooming. They're gentle and friendly and usually weigh under 30 pounds. They need regular walks to stay fit, but they aren't really very energetic. Beagles. They're small, smart, and make wonderful companions. Their short coats are easy to groom. Beagles are energetic and need a lot of exercise every day. Greyhounds. They can run fast, but they don't always want to. They're happiest lounging around indoors, but they need walks to stay fit. They're large, usually weighing around 60 pounds, but they have short coats that don't require a lot of grooming. And pugs. These happy little dogs make great companions. They're usually around 15 pounds and have short, easy-to-groom coats. They need more exercise than they want because they're prone to be overweight. Regular walks can take care of that. If you're an older adult looking for a four-legged companion, you can speak to a veterinarian or a dog trainer in your area for more information. They can help you choose the perfect pet just for you. This article came from WebMD, Best Dogs for Seniors. Well, that completes our readings for today. I do hope you've enjoyed them, and I invite you back again next time to hear more stories about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Until then, this is Joyce Vesper for Sun Sounds of Arizona and for Animal Companions. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.